Welcome to the Motivational Firewood Radio Show with your host, Steve Gamlin. As an award-winning speaker and author, Steve's greatest passion is blending inspiration and humor to create relatable, actionable, and repeatable messages. We hope you enjoy this recording.
Hey there, my friend, Steve Gamlin here with this latest Motivational Firewood Radio Show. As always, what is my favorite thing in the world to do? Find cool people and talk to them. Today's guest is a gentleman I met actually a couple of years ago, and we'll get into that in a little bit. His name is Joel Bogus. Joel is a life coach, author, and the host of the Relaunch Radio Show, currently at the time of this recording, just under 400 episodes, and we're going to talk about that in a bit as well.
Thank you for having me on. A great show. Really appreciate the opportunity. Motivational firewood. I love those words.
As I mentioned, you and I have known each other for a couple of years. We met back in December of 2012 when we both wound up hanging out with two guys that we both respect and admire, Joe Calloway and Larry Wingate, out in Scottsdale, Arizona for really a one-day event on building our businesses.
I said, wasn't that fun?
It was a blast. And ever since then, I've been tinkering away here in my little corner of the world, but I've been keeping an eye on you and all the things you have going on. And I kept writing myself a note saying, can we just talk to Joel on the show? And finally, I listened to myself, and here we are.
Yeah, again, Steve, congratulations on what you've been doing with the show. What a wonderful resource this is. And thank you for the invitation. I'm glad we were able to reconnect, and you rolled out the red carpet for me, so thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, your show, Relaunch Radio Show, in its first year in the 2014 Podcasters Paradise Awards, you were awarded Most Original, Most Inspirational, and Best Overall Podcast. Congratulations.
Wow, thank you. You know what? That was so much fun. And just to know that people were, you know, clicking on the link and they were casting their vote for my shows, it was very, very humbling. And I was honored that people would think highly of myself, my wife, because, of course, as you know, I co-host a show with Dr. Pei. That's my wife of 14 years. And to know that people thought enough about us and that they got enough of the show to nominate it and to vote for it for an award and to actually help us push it over, that, to me, means so much.
And that is really cool, too, when you're recognized by your listeners. Now, it's not just some governing body somewhere who waves a bunch of money around or some of those, you know, those local publications that say, if you give us $500, we'll say you're the best one in town.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, the business of the month kind of deal.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've had a few clients in the past where I'd see on their wall, oh, we were voted the blank, blank, blank of the year. And I'm thinking, you know, I got another client. They were too. Same year.
They wrote a check as fast as you did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So of all the shows you've done, and it's funny because looking through it, it's kind of a who's who of a lot of the people in our industry. And it's just so great to see people who started off as regular everyday people like us, who've worked really, really hard, made something happen, and of course gotten your interest, and then you've interviewed them. Who are some of your favorite interviews or maybe some of the favorite things that have come out of some of the shows that you've done?
Jack Canfield, the originator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul book series, which pretty much later went on to become an empire, his show stands out to me. And I asked Jack, I don't know, it was a minute, maybe 2 minutes into the show, I said, you know, Jack, what's been the toughest season for your life? And just to kind of put this in a little bit of context, the show is called Relaunch. So generally we talk about, you know, a relational or a professional or a health-related relaunch that a person has been through. So naturally I asked Jack, you know, what has been the most challenging relaunch for you in your life? And within, you know, immediately after the show started, he started talking about his divorce and how it ended up costing him, you know, pretty much everything. And he jokes about it now, but he said, you know what, Joel, my ex-wife got a good lawyer, and I pretty much got to keep my job and, you know, $25 million later, I was faced with me and my bootstraps. And I had to figure out how to make this happen again. And I really had to dig down deep within myself to take what I had learned about myself, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you know sometimes the very ugly, and put it to work. Now, I've done it once, so I can do this again. And that show was unbelievable. Highly recommend it for people if they're looking to sample the relaunch show and kind of see what we're all about. The other show, a two-part show that I did with the editor, not the editor, but the publisher, rather, of Success Magazine, and that would be Darren Hardy. And that show was very, very practical. Jack's show was a little bit more about the growth process and some of the things that he learned and relearned about his value, potential, and possibilities. And then Darren Hardy, in his show, that was more of a practical nature. You know, set yourself up this way. Do these two, three, four things to set yourself up for success. So those two shows alone make a very, very nice set of bookends. If you're looking for, motivational, give me a boost kind of shows, followed by, okay, what's the recipe for success?
Love that. And actually, it's so funny that you say both those gentlemen's names. They are two of the top mentors in my life as well. I've been reading Success Magazine since it relaunched about 5 or 6 years ago. And Jack Canfield, since day one of my speaking career, when people say, who is your hero in the speaking world? Without a doubt, since day one, it has been Jack Canfield. And I saw recently one of your social media posts on Facebook talking about one of your favorite books in the world.
Was it written by somebody that both you and I know?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, it has to be Becoming a Category of One by the amazing Joe Calloway.
Exactly. And what I love most about Joe and about Larry Winget and the other guys that we've talked about, they are a category of one because they did what they do because it's who they are, and they just stay doing that. There's no hot trend. There's nothing else. It's just this amazing authenticity about them.
You know, category of one, I have gone back to that book time and time again. It has actually become like a textbook for me, a multiple highlighted, dog-eared textbook, because it is so meaty and it's just so rich, chock full of useful information that you don't have to sit and think and stew over for, days and weeks and months, because who has that kind of time, right?
Mm.
But it's stuff that you can actually read and, boom, take action on immediately. That's one of the reasons that I absolutely love Category of One.
That is, I don't travel as much as I used to, but every time I go on a plane, that book comes with me.
Smart move. Great book.
Because every time, you're kind of trapped in a plane for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, I'll just read a couple of chapters, bring one of my journals with me, and say, okay, when I land, once I start back up, fired up working again, I'm going to implement this nugget that I just found. And almost every time I read it, I look at something and I ask myself, was that there the last time? It's just...
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
The way our brain can just, we can watch a movie 5 times, and then on that 6th time, we'll see a scene, or we'll catch a comment that, was made on all those other previous times. I mean, we were there. We weren't in the bathroom or getting popcorn, but we catch it for the first time. It's just amazing that books and podcasts and training, that can all have that same newness flavor to it.
Mm. And another book that I do know you enjoy, and this is right up there for me as well, is The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John David Mann.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm actually working with Bob and his team right now, and he just recently released, you probably already know this because you're kind of in the know, but the expanded edition of The Go-Giver, and it has a new foreword written by Arianna Huffington and a discussion guide and some couple of new things added into that book, but I have the actual because we've built that relationship, because it's all relational. You know how business is.
Yes, it is.
And when he was ready to do the Go Giver podcast, well, he came to pay an eye, and he said, you know what, you've done a phenomenal job with Relaunch. You've always been a good friend, and I want you to really help me knock this out of the park, because you've done that with your show, and I want you to do it with mine. And that right there, just him saying that, was absolutely phenomenal for me, because an incredible amount of trust and faith and confidence. And that right there, those three things, trust, faith, and confidence, that means so much to me.
Yeah, especially when it comes from somebody that we've looked up to for so long, and all of a sudden, it's almost like a mirror. They kind of see it in you, and it just goes back to the person you're becoming. Really, it's the influence of the five people you spend the most time with, or at least maybe under the mentorship of, or the people you choose as your heroes, which I tell people all the time, be very careful when you choose your heroes, because you're going to emulate them. You might as well pick some good ones.
Hey, Steve, while we're throwing around names, may I throw in another name?
Of course.
Just last week, I finished reading a book called Rudy. And if you've ever seen the movie Rudy, mm-hmm. then do yourself a favor and get the book Rudy. And I'm getting ready to have Rudy Rudiger, not Sean Astin, the actor, but the actual Rudy Rudiger on the Relaunch show. And he and his team were kind enough to send me a couple of copies of his book. And you talk about a page turner. First of all, the movie did an unbelievable job at capturing some of the highlights and some of the peaks and some of the valleys of his actual life. But my gosh, Steve, his story, his personal story, goes so much deeper than the movie was able to capture. Because the movie had, you know, 2 hours to tell that whole story. And the book just does a phenomenal job. And what's interesting about Rudy is I got halfway through the book, and it was basically the climax of the very ending scene in Rudy. Now, you remember what happened in the ending scene.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Well, that was halfway through the book. And then I thought to myself, kind of scratching my head, I was like, I wonder if I should continue reading this book, because I kind of already got, you know, the best parts. But I kept reading, and I kept reading. And then I heard about what happened after the climax of Rudy, and how there were still peaks, valleys, and caves to go through in his life. And I tell you what, that second half of the book was equally powerful, if not more powerful. Definitely put that on your reading list. Rudy, and Rudy Rudiger is phenomenal. Cannot wait to have him on the Relaunch show.
Nice. And again, a regular, everyday person who did something pretty cool and then shared it with the world, because so many people, they go through their peaks, their valleys, and their caves. And someone asked me recently, what qualifies me to be a speaker? And it goes right back to peaks, valleys, and caves. I said, I had what really most people would call at the time a successful life. I had a great radio career. I was married and things were good, and I got burned out, and I basically blew it all up in a very short period of time. Went through two of the worst years of my life and put back together better than it was before, and I took notes and had no problem sharing the toughest times I'd gone through in a very real way, and it resonated.
You know, we were in our improv class, Pay and I taking improv, and our improv teacher, and we're taking improv level one, so we're beginners. But one of the things that our improv teacher told us, and I totally believed him, still do, is he said, you know, everyone in this room, there's about 10 people in our class, and he said, everyone here already knows everything that they need to know on how to be a good improv performer. You know, we've all experienced disappointments in relationships. We've all experienced, you know, ecstasy at some level, the emotion of ecstasy. We've all experienced hard work. We've all experienced letdowns. And we've experienced the range of human emotion. And he said, that's all you need to be a good performer. Because if you can tap into those emotions, those feelings, and make them relatable to your audience, and of course they are, because everyone experiences the peaks and the valleys, the ups and downs, then you're going to catch the attention of your audience, you know, in an improv performance or on the speaking stage or in a podcast, and then your people are going to be attracted to you. They're gonna relate with you. They're gonna want to hear what you have to say. Maybe not everyone, but we're not here to serve everyone. I personally believe that there is a certain group, a certain population, if you will, of who we're designated to serve.
Oh, I agree 100%. I had a conversation with somebody just last week. I was coaching another speaker, and this person was so happy that the people in the front were jumping up and down, all excited and knew the stories. And I said, well, that's wonderful. It's great to have raving fans, as one of the books that's out there says. The people that I feel I'm there for the most are the ones that come in late, sit way in the back, never make eye contact, refuse to raise their hands or participate. They just need to be around the good energy, and they're hoping something good lands on them. Because maybe they're at the end of their rope, or they're praying for a hero or for an answer or for something. Those are the people that I have to work really, really hard to make sure they walk out of there with a reason to walk out of there.
Very good.
Now, you've also got a book out at the top of the radio show. I introduce you as an author. Your book, Finding Your Voice, Sort Through the Clutter to Find Clarity, Confidence, and Direction. Mm-hmm. The great books out there come from personal experience. So what do you think were parts of your life that led to this book coming out? And I already know it's been very well received. So where did it come from?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I appreciate you giving me that opportunity. Finding Your Voice has done a lot of good things for us. And it actually ended up at the top of Amazon. We actually hit number one as a bestseller in all three of our categories. And we hit it on the same day in the same hour. And that's just crazy. But it just happened that way. And we were just so thrilled for it. But in a nutshell, finding your voice, and when we talk about voice, we're not talking about the voice that comes out of your mouth, or we're actually talking about the voice that is stirred from within your heart. And what it is a guidebook of the coaching process that I use. And it also shares a lot of stories from some of the people that I've worked with. And the reason I called it a guidebook is because the last thing anyone needs, in my opinion, is another rule book. Mm. Now, you know what a rule book is, right? A rule book is one of those things that says, okay, you know, do this, do this, do this, and so forth and so on. And you'll get, you know, you'll have amazing results. You'll lose 25 pounds. You'll have great sex. All these things will happen, right? And then what happens is, now most of the books are written with good intentions, but what happens is sometimes people, you know, follow the steps that are outlined in the book, but they don't get the same results that the person that wrote the book got. So what can happen is that can be a recipe for a lot of frustration for the reader. And that can also leave a person thinking, well, gosh, what's wrong with me? You know, how come I wasn't able to do this thing that the author was able to do? So I thought about that, and then I thought, you know what? I don't want to write a rule book. I want to write a guidebook. I want to give people different options based on what I've seen work with some of the clients that I've had the privilege of working with, and some of the tips and some of the techniques that have worked in my own life and in my wife's life. And I wanted to put those together in a storybook way so that people could open it up to, you know, chapter 2 or chapter 4 or any chapter that you want to start with. And you could start reading and immediately start to get some ideas and some insights and some, hopefully, ahas that will help you get a little bit closer to finding your voice, the voice of your heart. And within the Finding Your Voice book, I wove in my own personal story. That's where it came from. That's where it came from. I felt a compelling hunger, if you will, to share my own story. And when I was five, had a near-death accident, which involved a 30-foot bridge, a train, and a fall to my near death, and also some dramatic and very heroic divine and a medical intervention. And I was actually thrown into a coma for 3 weeks. And as I came out of that coma, I had to go through many, many recovery phases as I came from that. So I had to go through the actual process of finding my voice, relearning many things, and getting connected with myself again. And I felt that that story needed to be told. And then now I'm 46, so this was 41 years ago, and I'm able to weave in some of the things that I've learned works for myself and other people within that story. It's been very well received, like you said. Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, authenticity is everything. And you and I both see people out there in the speaking world and even in the professional world. They're good at weaving stories, but you start to realize, I've heard this story 10 other times. This didn't happen to that guy.
Right. Right. Isn't that funny that you can go to an event and then you can hear a version of the same story? And you just, if you attend a lot of events, and I'm sure people in your audience do because they're hungry,
mm-hmm.
and they want to know and they want to better themselves professionally and personally. But if you attend a lot of events, it's amazing that sometimes the exact same thing will happen to, you know, a different person.
Yeah. And it's hysterical when two people in the same day who didn't hear each other's presentations both tell it. And I've had friends look over at me and they roll their eyes and I just nod my head going, yep, busted.
If you're ever on, I'm not talking with you, to you, Steve, but, and I say this tongue in cheek, but if you're ever on the speaking circuit and on the same gate with Larry Winget, make sure you use fresh material.
Oh,
just
yeah. Larry is a huge, huge mentor to me. And because of him, ever since we spent that one day back, oh gosh, 3 years ago with him and Joe Calloway, I've had one goal. And the unofficial version of it is to be the least full of crap speaker that ever set foot on a stage. And that goes right back to Larry. And, you know, I am a motivational speaker, and I just try not to do the rah, 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 buy my stuff version that's out there. And just having a mentor like him and Joe, you know, Joe Calloway becoming a category of one, they've both radically changed how I approach this. And that investment of one day is going to echo in my career forever, because I know I can't get up there and do what some people out there are doing. I can't be anything less than 100% real me, authentic, because of them. Because if Larry was ever in my audience and heard me say something, I know he'd call me out.
Probably charge the stage is what he'd do.
But he might, and I would thank him for it. That's the beauty of it. I would actually thank him for it.
I got to tell you a real quick story about Larry. And he and I aren't quite as close as I am with Calloway and some of the other people that I've been fortunate to meet in the speaking world. But when I was getting ready to publish Finding Your Voice, and I was hungry, and I wanted that to become a number one bestseller somewhere, because I knew it would be a barn door opener. For me to be able to say that when, you know, you say my name. And so who did I call? Well, the guy that's written, I think it's up to six New York Times bestsellers now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our buddy Winget. And I asked him, Pay and I were both on the phone with him. And I said, Larry, how do you do it? And it was just like that. And he gave me the straight up no BS answer, as you know, that would only come from Larry. And basically he just told me exactly what he had learned in his experience. And the reason I'm sharing that story here with your audience, because if for some reason you don't know Larry, or you haven't studied any of his content or material yet, absolutely, you know, go to Amazon or go to your local bookstore and and read up on this guy, because he is, like the other people that we've mentioned, the real deal. Mm. And the advice that he gave us, no strings attached, and just because we met that one time, and I've invited him on the show a couple of times since, but he, you know, gladly gave me his experience and advice.
And people like that, it's funny because Jack Canfield says the same thing. Go ask the people who've done it. So you'd be remarkably surprised that some of the most successful people in the world are the ones who will, if you ask, help you the quickest.
Here's what happened. When I was talking to Callaway on one of the interviews that I did for him, and this was pre-book, this was before Finding Your Voice, but I asked Joe after we got done interviewing, and this was before I was as good of a friend with him as I am now, but I said, hey, Joe, I've got this book coming out. I want it to be a number one bestseller, no question about it. I know it'll really pave the way for some opportunities for me. And then I asked him, I said, hey, Joe, how do I tactfully and diplomatically ask people, like the guests on my show, like the influencers, the Bergs and the, you know, Callaways and Wingets and all that, how do I tactfully and diplomatically ask them to help me promote my book? Basically, you know, put it on your social media, email your list and all that. And then after I asked him that question, I thought about it before he answered, and I thought about how ridiculous that question sounded. And then I said, I interrupted my own train of thought, and I said, hey, Joe, do I even need to be tactful and diplomatic? And without missing a Callaway said, no, you need to be crystal clear, specific, what you want these people to help you, and they will help you. And then I said, well, why in the world would they help me, a guy they don't even know, Joe? And Joe said very simply, and you know where we're going with this, Joe said, because before they were someone, before they were at the top of the list and at the top of their game, they had to ask somebody for help.
Yep.
And you know what? Hey. And with the exception of one person, with all the people that I've, you know, interviewed and have been able to link arms with in some way, only one person wasn't able to help me.
Wow.
Only one out of all the people that I asked.
And yep.
I just, you know, I think people want to help, frankly, and they understand the value of truly offering assistance to someone that's new and trying to make a name for themselves.
And I think they've all got a filter up too as well. I mean, you know, you get, because now you've done 400 radio shows, you've got the book, which is a bestseller. You might start getting approached by anyone and everyone, and maybe they don't have the best of intentions, or maybe they're not as above board. It's almost like once you start to reach a certain level of maybe success or just being well known, it's funny because, and I'm, believe me, nowhere near famous or as successful as I am trying to build myself to be. I've got people that come out now and say, oh, you've got more followers than I have, or, oh, you get more social media traffic. Can you promote my stuff? And I look at some of their stuff and I'm thinking, man, this person does not have integrity. I want to help, but, you know, and I think back to years ago when I was asking people to help me when maybe I didn't have my message down yet, or maybe I wasn't 100% authentic yet, and people said no. And now I look back at it, I go, they probably did me a huge favor by not helping.
That's a good point.
But it is great to help people. It just feels so good when you say you're climbing a mountain and you hear somebody down below wishing they could get where you are, can't figure out the way, and you get to kind of stick your arm over the edge of the cliff and say, hey, you want to come up here? The view's good. And I always say at my live events, the higher you climb, the better the view. And generally, not 100%, but generally, the cooler the people you're going to find who were willing to make the effort and get the scars on their knees and elbows from falling down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, it's a nice feeling to high-five somebody who gets it and not somebody who just, you know, took a helicopter and got dropped at the top without making the effort.
I like that. Good visual.
Yeah. So, Joel, what's next? I mean, we're talking about climbing a mountain. What's the next thing that you'd like to accomplish in your career between yourself and Dr. Pei?
You know, we're having a blast with our relaunch show. Just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we passed the 1 million listens mark. And for me, that's a big number. A lot of zeros on it. And it's kind of fun to say also. So we are excited how much the show has grown. And we are continuing to grow it and continuing to reach more people in more cities, more states, more countries, and just continuing on with that. We are doing a lot of training. We're doing a lot of personal growth and development training, like in group coaching type situations. And we're also doing a lot of practical training. You know, we've been able to really launch a flame in the podcasting world. That's what we've done with Relaunch, and we've helped many, many people not only launch their podcast, but get on the top of the charts, hit number one in their respective categories on iTunes, which is a noticer when people are able to do that. So we're having a lot of fun and helping a lot of people build their audience. Just recently, we helped you might have read some of his books before. We've helped Michael Port just crush it with his podcast launch. He's hitting number one repeatedly in his categories. Steal the Show is the book that has just been released. And that right there for aspiring and seasoned speakers, that is the book to get. And Steal the Show is the podcast to listen to. But you said what's next. It's continuing to do that group and individual training, either on a personal development nature and then also on a practical nature, helping people launch podcasts and launch books.
Beautiful. And while we're wrapping up here in the process of it, how can people learn more about you, Joel, and how can they reach out, get a hold of you, and learn maybe more about how they can be a part of your journey or how you can be a part of theirs?
Yeah, thanks for that. Relaunchshow.com is the number one place to go for all of our shows, also a lot of our training resources. Again, relaunchshow.com. And we do 3 shows a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can catch them all right there on the website. Another handy-dandy link to go to if you're on an iPhone, if you go to relaunchshow.com/iTunes, it will immediately take you to our show. That URL is relaunchshow.com/iTunes.
Very cool, Joel, and I encourage all of my listeners to become your listeners. So as we get ready to wrap it up, is there any last bit of advice or something you'd like to offer up to the Motivational Firewood Radio audience?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think I would like to remind folks, and this isn't new information. I mean, we all know these things intuitively, but sometimes I like to serve as a mile marker, you know, as a flagman, just as a reminder that we all have a voice within us. Again, not the voice that comes out of your mouth, but the voice that is stirred within your heart. And I personally believe, this is just my own belief, but I personally and strongly believe that we have a responsibility to not only connect with our voice, but to do what we need to do to fully express that voice. And when we do that, when we fully express our voice, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits. You, your kids, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, boyfriend, your lover, your partner, your family, the people that are closest to you, that you love, and the greater good. When you find your voice, everyone benefits.
So true, and what a great way to wrap it up. Joel Bogus, life coach, author, host of Relaunch Radio Show, Thank you, my friend, for being a part of my little project here, the Motivational Firewood Radio Show.
It's been a pleasure, Steve. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for listening. For more information on how to include Steve at your next event or to learn more about his personal development programs, please visit stevegamlin.com.